How's it going, VTTV family? I hope everyone's enjoying this beautiful Monday afternoon. In today's episode, I'm going to have another special guest. I'll let him introduce himself when we have him in the podcast. But I just wanted to say thank you guys for all the support, love, the continued streams and stuff, and the shares I'm getting. I love the growing support. I love every one of you who joins in on the journey, no matter if you're new, if you started from day one, if you started from this episode, doesn't matter. Thank you guys for the support. All right, guys, let's get it. All right, everybody, this is our special guest. Please introduce yourself.
What's up, VTTV viewers? This is your boy, Justin. You feel me? How y'all feeling?
Hey, everybody. So, Justin, my guy here, we've been friends since high school. And we always got something to say about sports. So I had him be our special guest for today's episode. So our three topics for today were we're going to go over each one of the draft picks and see if they're ready to go to be starters in the league or just the situation of each pick.
Right.
Second topic is going to be on the VTTV Way Too Early Awards. For the NBA, so it's going to be the MVP Rookie of the Year. We're going to be saying our picks for those. And to end off the episode, we're going to be going with our all-time five team for the NBA. So, Justin, how are you feeling today?
I'm good. You know, I didn't have to work today, so I was excited.
I was excited, too. All right, so the little name I came up with the first segment is called Starter Backup Bench. So we're going to go over each one of the picks for the first round of the draft for the NFL. And we'll give our – if we think the player is going to be an instant starter, if they're going to be a backup to the position that they're at for future use. So to start off, it's going to be the easiest one, I feel. It's going to be the first overall pick of the draft, Trevor Lawrence. And for me, I have him being the starter of the Jacksonville Jaguars, quarterback of the future for them, and he's ready to go. Hello.
I'm here.
All right. For the first pick, Trevor Lawrence, I think he is going to be the starter. They wouldn't draft him number one for no reason. He's the quarterback of the future. Yeah.
For sure. I stand by everything. QB1, day one.
Yes. Agreed. At number two, Zach Wilson. Honestly, if they had someone on the roster that was a little bit better, he would have been a backup, but he will be the day one quarterback for the Jets.
Now, with Zach Wilson, I believe he shouldn't have been the second overall pick to start. I was heavy on Justin Fields or Trey Lance, but not Zach Wilson as the second pick. But since they traded away Sam Darnold, and you know, so he got to be QB1 now, so.
Yeah, they have no other choice but to start him. And I feel like the Jets fell in love with him on the pro days. I feel like that's when Zach Wilson's name really got up there for New York. They saw he can do some Mahomes-esque throws, and that's sort of what sort of led them to him. But I think the comparison to Mahomes is really out of reach, out of pocket, you can say.
the people, just because he can – do all of this, you know, the throwing off the off script and off the different platforms when there's no defense, you know, that's wild. If you're comparing it to Patrick Mahomes, who've been doing it for about 3 years now, or 2 years, mm-hmm. something like that, with defense on the field, elite defense on the field, mm-hmm. when the Super Bowl is doing it. So,
yeah, I agree. I don't think Zach Wilson should have been the number two pick. I was heavy on the Fields going number two. Him and Trevor Lawrence, their whole careers were always 1 and 2. So I thought that's how it was going to be. Exactly. But on to the third pick, Trey Lance. I have him being the backup. I think Jimmy G will get the start this year, but I do believe that is their quarterback of the future. I wasn't heavy on Trey Lance going number three. I had Mac Jones over Trey Lance on my mock draft, but watching Trey Lance film and just analyzing him, he's about it. He's really going to be that guy for them in the future. Once you give him a year to develop under Kyle Shanahan and that Niners offense, I think if you give him the year and he learns, he's going to be dangerous.
With Trey Lance, I wasn't heavy on Mac Jones. If when they traded up and then I heard Mac Jones, I was like, well, that's their job in San Francisco to me, if they would have selected Mac Jones. But since, you know, the Jets was locked in on Zach Wilson, I thought the 49ers was, okay, Justin Fields, because I feel like Justin Fields is the second best quarterback behind Trevor Lawrence. So I was thinking, you know, Justin Fields, he going second or third. But once I heard Trey Lance's name flying around, I was like, okay. And, you know, Trey Lance, he is about it. So I'm not mad at it. He is the quarterback for the future. But I would say he's a backup right now.
Yeah. For number four, do you want to go first on this one, Kyle Pitts?
Oh, for sure. Starter. Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. For Kyle Pitts, for sure. And it's going to make sense if they keep Julio. I hope they keep Julio. So, you know, he can work in that middle. He can work out the, you know, out that slot. And, you know, they got Julio on the one end, Calvarilli on the other. And now he's tearing up linebackers. He's tearing up safeties, Kyle Pitts. He's tearing up linebackers, tearing up safeties, yeah. You know.
Any defender on the field is going to get the work.
Exactly. So, starter for sure.
Yeah, I do believe he will be the starting tight end for them. And they also have that Andrews Hurst, I think that's his name, the backup. He's also a good tight end. So I think this is a good fit for Kyle Pitts. He goes into a already overpowered offense. Just the one thing I don't like about the Falcons offense is the quarterback position, Matt Ryan. He did have his Super Bowl, but we all know what happened there. Matt Ryan's very, well, how can I say, inconsistent as a quarterback. But the Falcons offense can hang with the best of them. I think the Falcons can produce 20-plus points a game, especially adding Kyle Pitts to the squad. So it's going to be easy for them to score. Let's just see if they can execute on winning games.
Yeah. Kyle Pitts, he's different. So I feel like Matt Ryan, his season is going to be – like he's going to play better because his receivers are going to be open.
They're
just going to be open.
Yeah, and if Julio can stay healthy the whole season, and he has – Calvin Ridley already proved to be that receiver for them. So if Julio stays healthy, comes into the starting lineup, that Falcons team is going to be scary to go against.
Yeah, but another I thought I had about the number four. I really thought Atlanta was going to go quarterback, you know, for the future because Justin Fields was there.
Justin Fields dropping to – he probably would have fell even more, but we'll get more into that. But him falling from top five really did shock me. I don't know. The slander on that dual threat quarterbacks, it needs to stop because Justin Fields is really about it. So we're going to go to number five, Ja'Marr Chase. He is going to be the starter, number wide receiver one for the Bengals. And I think they did this to make Joe Burrow feel better, you know, give you your old teammate they used to work with.
Yeah.
And I understand the need that they needed a deep threat receiver. They needed somebody to go up and just go get the ball for them. They have a lot of speedsters on the team already. But for me personally, I believe they should have picked Penei Sewell. That would have been the better pick for them. Just improving the linemen. We all seen the pictures of Joe Burrow in his uniform with his ACL tear, and that should have scared the Bengals and picked the lineman on this one. But Ja'Marr Chase, I think he will be the starter.
Yeah, I believe Ja'Marr Chase, day one starter. You know, he's electrifying, you know. And it's not a bad pick at all.
No, it's not. It's not.
If you're torn between picking Ja'Marr Chase and Penei Sewell, you're in good hands with either pick. But, you know, like, for me, it was need, and I feel like they needed to protect Joe Burrow, so you're right. They should have selected Penei Sewell at number five.
Yeah, that was when you're in a position like that, you really don't have a bad pick, but you do got to go team need over what the QB wants. But we're going to go to number six, Jalen Waddle. You want to go first on this one?
I believe – now, this is tough because they just – I believe they got Devontae Parker, and they, I think they just signed Will Fuller the fifth, and now they drafting Jalen Waddle. But I believe Jalen Waddle, like, he might not start day one, but for sure he will start soon because Devontae Smith said it himself. If Jalen Waddle was, you know, there most of the season, he wouldn't have won the Heisman because Jalen Waddle was that good.
Yeah, I do believe if Jalen Waddle was not playing on his injured, like playing injured, going playing through injuries, I think he would have won the Heisman too. He's very, very fast. The comparison to Tyreek Hill, I don't think no one can compare with Tyreek Hill's speed, but it's a similar play style. Run a slant, he's going to give you 30 plus yards on that slant. He's going to team up with his old teammate, Tua. I think the Dolphins have a really good team, very young team that's going to be very good in the future. I do think Jalen Waddle will get the start, I believe, maybe on slot, maybe at the slot, maybe at number two. But, yeah, that's a very good pickup for the Dolphins. And at seven, we got Penei Sewell going to the Lions. He is going to be the starter day one. I feel like they're trusting in Jared Goff. They ended up trading Stafford away for Goff. And I feel like Penei Sewell will be a future Hall of Famer. And besides that, I think they're going to trust in Goff for this season and see if he can lead them to a Super Bowl like he did with the Rams.
To start, Penei Sewell, day one starter for sure. But this was kind of like a I guess because he was the best player available. So, you know, you take the best player available and you, cause you know, Detroit needs to fill a lot of needs, but I probably would have went wide receiver at that spot. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Seven, you still have the Heisman on the board.
Yeah. You know, I probably would have went receiver. I probably would have chose Devontae at seven, but Penei Sewell, you know, having Penei Sewell, it's not bad. Generational talent at, you know, the tackle spot. So,
and yeah, to echo what you were saying, yeah, I would have taken receiver. They did get rid of Kenny Golladay, Marvin Jones Jr. So they don't really have a guy to be their guy at receiver. I know on offense they have Jared Goff and DeAndre Swift, but DeAndre Swift is not going to take you to the playoffs and win you some Super Bowls.
Yeah, it's not no Adrian Peterson in 2012. Yeah. He's not going to run you to the playoffs.
Exactly. At eight, we got J.C. Horn going to the Panthers. I feel like this was a little reach, but I feel like he will be a starter. Definitely personality fit for Carolina. He's a physical corner. I really didn't think he was going to go above Patrick Surtain, but he ended up going over Patrick Surtain. But he is a good corner. He will be a starter for that young Carolina defense.
With Horn at eight. I had him as the best corner in the draft. You know, I liked him a little more than Surtain, but I thought, you know, the Panthers were probably going to go. If Devontae was there, they just got Sam Darnold. I thought they were going to grab Devontae because he's still on the board. You know, you just got a quarterback, get him some weapons. Or, you know, they could have went Micah Parsons on the defense. But, you know, with them choosing Horn, I like it. You know, because they got to go against Michael Thomas two times a year.
Yeah, you need somebody to line up across the best receiver. And at nine, we're going to go Patrick Surtain. I've had him as the best corner in the draft. And I'm going to take the bias out because I am a Broncos fan. But I think this is a great pick for Denver. I feel like he helps out the secondary a lot. Our secondary last season was not anything. Anybody could run slants on us, and it was game over. And I do believe the Kyle Fuller pickup was great, too, for Denver. So, yeah, they're going to improve their identity on defense. I think he will be a starter day one.
Yeah, I like Surtain at nine, day one starter. You feel me? You know, he's a good corner. I prefer Horn more because, you know, Horn was a little more physical to me. But, you know, Patrick Surtain, he's a lockdown. He could be a lockdown corner in the NFL. He could be locked down. But the Broncos, I believe they should have went Justin Fields. Like they need a quarterback. I don't believe Drew Lock is the quarterback for them. So I believe they should have went Justin Fields. Now, he was there. That could have been a QB1 for the future, but picking up the 10, shoring up the defense, I can't get mad at it.
Yeah, to go back to what you were saying, yeah, the pass on Justin Fields at 9 did hurt me a little bit, but the Broncos have a lot of faith in Drew Lock, and me as a Broncos fan, I don't know how to feel about that. I probably would have taken best player available, Justin Fields. Welcome to the squad, but yeah, let's move on to number 10, the Heisman, Devontae Smith. This was the trade-up. Eagles ended up trading up with within the division against the
Cowboys.
That's
wild.
That is wild. And ended up picking up the Heisman to help out Jalen Hurts. He is going to be number one receiver in Philly. I don't think anybody else really. Jalen Reagor, no, not. I think Devontae Smith teaming up with his old teammate Jalen is going to be. It's going to be nice up there. It's going to have they have a really young team, so I don't expect nothing much the first year. But in these years to come, Philly's going to have I think he will be the starter.
Yeah, Devontae Smith, day one starter. You know, he's electrifying. He could do it all. I'm talking about everything on the route tree. He got it. Like, I like Devontae a lot. And the Eagles, they traded up. You know, like, I believe they thought the Bears were probably going to grab him or something. They thought somebody was going to grab him. So, they was like, let me make sure I get this receiver, help out my quarterback. But can I talk about the Giants? You know, I could believe they should have just took the best player available at 10 because,
yeah,
you know, you're picking there. You know, it's a lot of talented people. And so I want to say something. I was talking to one of my friends on draft night, and he was telling me, he was like, what if the Giants just get tired of Daniel Jones and draft Justin Fields? I would have been like, oh, snap, that's a game changer.
That would,
The Giants' defense, you know, they bout it.
And their offense right now?
Yeah, and, you know, putting Justin Fields in that mix, that would have been – but they traded back. So Eagles got them a nice wide receiver one for the future.
Yeah, I feel like if the Giants were to do that, I feel like they're very – how do you say? They're really reliant on Daniel Jones right now. I feel like they have a lot of faith in him to be that guy. They gave him the nickname, like, day two, Danny Dimes. Like you have a lot of faith in your quarterback. They added so many weapons to help him. So, if he can't perform this season, the Giants might have to look into another quarterback. But we're going to go with what I call the most shocking pick of the draft just because of the situation. Pick 11 was traded up for by Chicago. Ended up taking Justin Fields, said, hold on, stop letting him fall. Let me grab him real quick.
Yes.
Let's have him over Andy Dalton, which is a perfect fit. He fits perfectly with Chicago. He already has all the weapons he needs. He has Allen Robinson. Darnell Mooney has proven to be that number two guy for you, even number one if you needed him to. Now he has a quarterback that can actually throw the ball. That can actually get the reads off. So, yeah, I have a lot of faith in Justin Fields being day one starter. And if he doesn't, they'd probably start Andy Dalton for one game just to test out the waters. But I do believe Justin Fields will be quarterback of the future for Chicago. What do you think?
Justin Fields. Now, I know I've been hyping Justin Fields, like the people, the VTTV viewers. I know I've been hyping Justin Fields the whole video. But I don't believe he should be day one starter. They got Andy Dalton. He's reliable. You know, it's a process. Get Justin Fields some time. Let him learn the reps. Let Matt Nagy know what he's used to so Matt Nagy can build the offense around him. You feel me? He's definitely the quarterback of the future. But day one starter, I don't believe so. Let him, you know, let him mature. Get this. You just signed the quarterback. You just signed Andy Dalton. Like, let Andy Dalton just do his thing. Let Justin Fields, you know, mature under your offense. And why? It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, don't rush Justin Fields out there. Let him progress with the team. And I feel like that's going to be scary in the future when you have Justin Fields out there.
You know, and the GM and the coach, they're trying to save their jobs right now. Because
that was a very
if anybody know me, I hated that Mitchell Trubisky pick so much. I hated it so much.
Like, Money Mitch, man. I had a lot of faith in Money Mitch. He was great in college. He was that system quarterback in college, but just couldn't translate it to the league. Just, I don't know, man. That was a terrible. Funny situation in Chicago these past terrible. Couple seasons.
And imagine just living here. He's just like... Next pick.
So at number 12 was Micah Parsons to the Cowboys. I feel like this was the pick they needed. Bottom 10 defense for Dallas last season. So this draft, they ended up drafting all defensive players, and I understand why. I think Micah Parsons will be that leader of the defense for them. He's athletically gifted. He's scary out there. I'd be scared to line up across Micah Parsons. But I think he will be a starter. I think Dallas needs all the help they can get on defense, so he will be the starter day one.
Yeah, day one starter, you know, first round pick. And Micah Parsons had a pretty high drive grade. You know, he can run sideline to sideline. He gets physical, you know, stop. You play the run pretty well. So I like the pickup. And, you know, Dallas do need all the help they can get on defense.
Yeah, they want to definitely improve from that bottom 10 defense. And we're going to go on to 13, which was the Chargers, I believe. It was the Chargers pick for Rashawn Slater, the second best lineman in the draft, in my opinion. He will be starter day one. I feel like they had the worst. They had one of the worst O-lines behind helping Herbert. But now since they're trying to improve the O-line for him, trying to improve that offensive side of the ball for Justin, and I feel like he is going to be a starter day one. Chargers are going to be very scary when they get that line fixed.
Yeah, because you know, Justin Herbert, he showed you he's about it. 30 touchdowns as a rookie. It. He's here to play. He's not, yes, not playing he is. Any games. And but to pick Rashawn Slater, day one starter. I started, you know, looking into, you know, the draft process, you know, looking into all alignments, and I looked at his name and they said, just watch the game when you play Chase Young. That's all what everybody was saying. Just watch the game where you play Chase Young at Northwestern. And he was doing Chase. We talking about Chase Young
in the league already. Already one of the best rookies in the league. Yeah.
Like, we talking about Chase Young, and he was throwing Chase Young around in them trenches. So Rashawn Slater, amazing pickup for the Chargers. Protect your quarterback. You feel me? So, I like it.
And to go along with that protect your quarterback vibe, Jets ended up trading up for this pick, the 14th pick, and they picked Elijah Vera Tucker, another lineman. And the only reason I feel like they did this was to, you have Zach Wilson, you already have your quarterback. You need to protect your quarterback. They got another lineman to do it. He will be a starter day one. But this pick was mainly for Zach to give him the assurance that, hey, we're going to build this team around you. So,
yeah, get to work. Elijah Vera Tucker, day one starter. He plays like in the guard position because the tackle they drafted, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, Makai Becton. Man,
he's a monster.
That dude.
Very about it.
So they got the left tackle. Now you throw Elijah Vera Tucker at that guard spot. The quarterback blind side, perfect. He's protected. Yeah. You know, now the line, now it's up to Zach Wilson. Now just show him. Like, it's up to you. You decide your own destiny. We're doing everything we can right now.
And to add on to that, we're not going to go over the second round picks, but just a key notes. The Jets ended up picking up Elijah Moore also in the fourth round or second round or something like that. And that's going to help Zach Wilson out also. Elijah Moore is about it at receiver. That Jets team is going to be young and dangerous when they get all matured up.
I like the way the NFC East – I mean, not NFC, AFC East is shaping up. You got the Bills, you know, they – Josh Allen, them, they rolling. You know, the Dolphins, they doing their thing. And now the Jets trying to do their thing. You know, the Patriots, they've been about it.
So, yeah, I do agree that AFC East is finally going to be competitive. It's going to stop being the Patriots dominating. But speaking of the Patriots, next pick, Mac Jones to the Patriots. He's not gonna be the starter day one. He will be quarterback of the future. Don't get me wrong, but he's gonna sit this year behind Cam. I feel like when Belichick feels ready to put Mac Jones out there, he will. You put Mac Jones with the best coach of all time, your only good things is going to happen for Mac Jones. But yeah, he's not going to start day one. He will be a bench player, if anything. So if Cam does mess up, look for Mac Jones to step out onto the field this season.
With Mac Jones, I don't believe he's going to start day one. I believe he's going to start soon, though, because I believe Cam, I mean, Cam was battling a lot of stuff last year. So, you know, he's going to get the chance to show, like, okay, we fresh, you know, I'm refreshed. It's a new season. I got OTAs, got training camps, got all that good stuff, got practice. You know, he probably could show. But I believe Mac Jones, because what he did at Alabama, he showed he can come into an NFL system and he could start. He's
an old school quarterback. He sits in the pocket for you and throws dimes. That's what the Patriots were about for almost a decade.
Okay, so honestly, right here, VTTV fans, after pick 15, I kind of strayed away from the draft. Okay, because I was really concerned about where the quarterbacks went. You know, all five quarterbacks' name got called. So so we could probably go on, but I really strayed away from the draft after.
We can go 15. To the notable pickups. We'll go jump to pick 21, or you know what? We'll go pick 20. Kadarius Toney, receiver. He went to New York. I feel like this was just to assure the offense a little bit more and give Daniel Jones some more options on offense to throw to. But, yeah, New York is going to be one of those high-scoring offenses.
But New York, they traded back after Devontae was selected, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it makes sense. I was about to say, but okay, it makes sense. Okay. But, yeah, good pickup. You know, they want to see if Daniel Jones is the quarterback. Because now they picked up Kenny Galladay. They got the wide receiver they just drafted. That tight end, Evan Engram. You got Saquon Barkley in the backfield. That defense, now it's on Daniel Jones to see if you can take us over the top.
There you go. At 22, we'll go Caleb Farley. Or 21, we'll do we'll go 22. Caleb Farley. He was arguably the best corner in the draft before his injury, all his injuries, but he fits the position need for Tennessee Titans. He's a physical corner. He's going to go up and grab it. He's going to steal it from you. But if he can stay healthy, he will be – he's not going to start day one. He might, depending on how he feels from his injuries. But if he can stay consistent and stay healthy, he's going to be very, very scary corner to try to go against.
Yeah, that helps you up the Titan defense. Because who what's the division? What's the division the Titans in?
The AFC South, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
With the Colts and Jaguars, and
I guess they took best player available at that point.
At 24, Najee Harris to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I felt like this pick was sort of like an interesting pick. As we know, the Steelers didn't have an identity for the run game last season. They could not run the ball for anything, and I feel like that was mainly because of the O-line. And them drafting a running back, I feel like, doesn't help the situation. But Najee Harris is a really great running back, great guy. And I feel like he will be the starter day one for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I see Najee being a day one starter. But with the offensive line situation in Pittsburgh, I probably would have leaned towards Travis Etienne if you're taking running back, because I like the way he runs more. I feel like he could run behind that offensive line better than Najee Harris could, if you understand me. So I probably would have took ETN. And then once you shore up the offensive line, then ETN would be a huge plus, you hear me?
Yeah, and right after that, right after Najee got picked up, Travis Etienne ended up going to the Jaguars, teaming up with Trevor Lawrence again. That's a great pickup. I feel like they have that connection already with Lawrence and Etienne from them playing in college. He will be I don't think he will be the starter, though. He will be he will be the second running back, because James Robinson right now, he had a very great rookie season, especially for an undrafted player. James Robinson, it's going to remind me of the Browns offense with a power running back and then Travis Etienne going out there. Yeah, running routes, catching the ball. He's going to be nice.
Yeah, I like to pick up, Trevor Lawrence is one of his some familiarity in the backfield. You know, he know he can hand the ball off, get Travis Etienne can run out for about 4 or 5 yards. You know, he could catch out the backfield too. But James Robinson did have a really good rookie campaign. I think, did he reach 1,000 yards, 1,000 rushing yards, or was it 1,000 scrimmage yards, 1,000 scrimmage yards?
I believe he did reach 1,000. I think he was close. He did, or he – it was very close.
But he had a pretty good rookie campaign, you know, and he, like you said, would be an undrafted.
Yeah, I'm trying to here, I'm pulling up his stats right now just to get the exact number. But, yeah, it was 1,070 yards. So, yeah, he did reach 1,000 yards on 240 attempts. That's not bad. He had a great rookie season.
Yeah, so we see the 1-2 punch could be deadly, though. Like Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, what was that, in 2018?
Yeah, right before he went to Baltimore.
Yeah.
At 27, we'll do the last. This is the last one. We'll do – Bateman, receiver out of Minnesota, going to the Baltimore Ravens, helping Lamar Jackson out, getting him more possession, a deep threat receivers. He didn't really have some. He had Dez Bryant, but that's old Dez Bryant. But, yeah, you give him a young receiver like Bateman, he's going to go up there and catch anything you throw to. Let's hope that Ravens offense can really perform with this new receiver. He will be day one starter, though.
Yeah, I can see Rashad being day one starter in Baltimore, but I think the Ravens really should have tried to trade it up. No, they should have tried to trade it up to get them one of those, you know, top flight receivers in this draft. But I think they were trying to wait on Antonio Brown to see what he was doing. And then once he re-signed, I feel like they felt, well, might as well just stay put and just draft one. But I believe they should have tried to trade or something. Because I think they got another first rounder from Kansas City in a trade, didn't they?
Yeah, with Orlando Brown.
So yeah, I believe they should have traded up to try to get those one of those high end receivers.
Yeah, and actually, I do have one more that's like a notable one. Eric Stokes, corner, going to Green Bay, helping out that secondary that Green Bay needed. He is going to be a cornerback two. No one's going to take Jair's spot at one. But now, since you added another, Eric Stokes ran a 4.3. He ran a really fast 40 time. And Kevin King is not it at corner. So you fill the need up. He's a very fast corner. Eric Stokes is about it. He will be cornerback two for Green Bay.
Yeah, cornerback two, because, you know, Jair Alexander, that boy can play some, he plays some football.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he plays some football.
So, like, but, you know, they going up against, they got Allen Robinson in Chicago, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen in Minnesota. And Detroit, they should have took a wide receiver, but you know, they tried to show up the corner spots, you know, because they're going to get some good receivers in the NFC North.
Yeah, helping out that defense a little bit. And that's going to round off the first segment. Yeah, starter backup bench. That was our take on it. On to the next one. It's going to be the way too early VTTV predictions for awards for the NBA. We're going to switch up gears here. And we're going to just start with Coach of the Year to start it off. And I got Quinn Snyder from the Jazz winning it because they are the first seed. I think they took it from Phoenix. So, yeah, it's a regular season award. So, yeah, I do believe Quinn Snyder will win Coach of the Year.
I will give my nod to Monty Williams in Houston. I mean, not Houston, in Phoenix.
Yeah.
He's doing an amazing job. And the Chris Paul, you know,
that Chris Paul trade was very
doing an amazing job in Phoenix. You know, for it to be the regular season, so that would be my nod for Coach of the Year.
That's all Phoenix needed too was a point guard that can floor general, give Devin Booker some off ball, and exactly. Look at them now, they are playing great basketball, top two in the Western Conference. Yeah, that's good. That's a very good team. Next award, most improved player. There's a lot of honorable mentions for this. We can go Jeremiah Grant from the Pistons. You can go Chris Boucher, but my most improved player is going to be Julius Randle with the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I will have to go Julius too. You got the Knicks in the playoffs. You gotta get some,
exactly.
You gotta get at least one of these regular season awards. You getting the Knicks in the playoffs. You gotta get at least one.
That's what I would saying.
Go. So I would go most improved player for Julius Randle too, or Jordan Clarkson in Utah, because he's playing some good ball too.
Yeah, Jordan is playing. I actually have Jordan for the next one, Sixth Man of the Year. I have Jordan winning that one. I feel like he will win Sixth Man. Coming off the bench, he's a very elite, efficient scorer. He's going to go out there, shoot the ball, dunk the ball, dribble up your guy, make him look stupid out there. Yeah, I got Jordan Clarkson winning Sixth Man of the Year.
And he's also mine, too, you know, because they just playing some really good ball in Utah in general. So, like, and you know, but Donovan Mitchell can't get no MVP votes. I don't know why. And Rudy Gobert, he won't get none because he can't score. So, like, they got to bring home one of those regular season awards because they're playing some really good basketball. So he would be my Sixth Man of the Year.
Next one is going to be Defensive Player of the Year. And this is going to go to another Jazz. I have three Jazz. I didn't even realize I have three Jazz winning the awards. But I got Rudy Gobert winning DPOY. He always ends up winning the award anyway. He's a good rim protector. You can't really do much on Rudy Gobert. So I got him winning DPOY. This award could go to Giannis. However, I don't know. I got Rudy winning it.
My defensive player of the year, I would go Ben Simmons, because what Ben Simmons does on the defensive side, he does everything you can ask on defense. He does it at a very, very elite level. I'm like, because he can rim protect if you ask him. He could play perimeter defense. He could play the passing lane. He could he guards the best player. Like I would go Ben Simmons because
I like that pick. I think Ben Simmons can guard 1 through 5 without a problem. Yeah, he is a very elite defender too. Okay, so these last two awards, I think the most important ones for the NBA. We're gonna go Rookie of the Year first, and some honorable mentions: Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Halliburton, James Wiseman, all really great rookies that had great rookie campaigns. But the Rookie of the Year has to go to LaMelo Ball. I feel like with him back in the lineup a couple games ago, just out there making underhanded passes full court, can shoot the three ball. And there was a lot of hate on LaMelo. I don't know why, but ever since Chino Hills, I had a lot of hype into LaMelo.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I've been watching him do this since I was like 15, like,
yes,
or 16, or something like that. So, like, and to see him do the same thing he was doing back in high school in the NBA, that's my rookie.
That's crazy. Idea. He's literally doing, yes, he's just out there playing, just doing anything he wants out there. That
would be my rookie of the year. Michael Jordan finally got the draft right.
Exactly. Got his pick. And at the MVP, most valuable player, this award would have went to LeBron if he stayed healthy, in my opinion. But I have the MVP being Nikola Jokic. I feel like with Jamal Murray being out with the ACL injury and Jokic still producing at a high level, they're going to give Jokic the award. Triple-double machine. He can do anything you want on the court. As a big man, that's like he's the modern-day NBA big man. Can shoot the three, can rebound, can pass the ball, can – I won't say play great defense, but he can go out there and guard the five. But, yeah, I got Nikola Jokic winning MVP, bringing it to Denver.
With MVP, you know, LeBron had it, you know, locked up before the injury. But outside of LeBron, I really wanted Joel Embiid to win it because what he was doing in Philadelphia, I liked it. He was giving them 30 a night. Like, he was giving them 30, in all like shapes and form, like Joel Embiid was balling, but you know, the injury and then when Jamal Murray went down and the way Jokic is playing now that Jamal Murray is down, the MVP is kind of locked up for him. Yeah. And now I think they third in the West or like something like that. So like the MVP is kind of,
yeah, I feel like it's given already to Jokic. He already has his name already engraved on it. But, yeah, like you were saying about Embiid, he was going on a tear. And if they were to give the awards mid-season, I feel like Embiid would have had the MVP in wraps. He He was going crazy. He went on that tear. He was messing everybody up.
And when he gave Chicago, gave us that 50 piece, I was like, okay.
The Bulls. We won't even get started on the Bulls, man. I don't even know where to start on them.
It's just Chicago in general. The Bears trying to turn it around, though. The Bears trying with drafting Justin Fields. They trying to turn it around. But the Bulls, I don't know, man.
The Bulls need a – they try to make the splash with Vucevic, but without LaVine there to team up with him, it's sort of a lackluster trade.
You see, and I even forgot they traded for him.
He hasn't played. I feel he's been out for a couple games. I know Daniel Tice has been our highest score.
That is the Bulls is. We need to turn it around in Chicago.
I've been saying to everybody about the Bulls, all we need is a consistent point guard. If we can get a point guard that can go out there and do what Chris Paul does, we have playoffs under wrap.
The Bulls should hire Mark Jackson. I don't know why Mark Jackson isn't a coach yet in the NBA, but the Bulls should hire Mark Jackson. They need a coach. They need a black coach. They need an African-American coach. Or, it's Chicago.
He said it's Chicago. I like Billy Donovan. I feel like he brings a lot of experience to the table for a bunch of young guys who don't know, what can go past on the eighth seed. So I feel like he brings that that tone to the team. And I feel like Zach has improved a lot this season too, not only offensively but also defensively. The Bulls have a really good future if we're able to keep Zach. But knowing the Bulls will probably trade away Zach LaVine for some random person.
Oh, my God. Don't bring.
All right. So the last segment of the episode, guys. Thank you guys for everything for this episode. We're going to go with our all-time five. I have my list already made. I don't know if you do, if you want to start it off. Your all-time five in the NBA.
So, all-time five. Okay, so.
If you were to have a team to go, 82-0 type, what would your – we can we'll let six. We'll go six so we can have a six, man.
Okay. At my point guard, Stephen Curry, that's my one. And my two, I would probably go, I want to say, either Kobe or Michael Jordan. I would go Michael Jordan, because it's Mike. But at the three, I would go Kevin Durant. At the four, I would put LeBron James. And at my five would be Hakeem Olajuwon.
Okay. We have very similar all-time teams here. At point guard, I have Curry as well, best point guard of all time, undoubtedly.
It's not undoubtedly, man.
That dude is he brings Magic, someone's attention to the offense.
Magic. He did the same thing and did in a different he gave it to him differently. Curry was the threes. Magic was being a six-ten point guard, and he could pass the Lakers, the Showtime Lakers was just a thing in itself. But okay, I'm sorry. Go back to your list.
No, you're good. At shooting guard, I have MJ. At the three, I have LeBron at his natural position. And then at the four, I have Tim Duncan. And then at the five, I have Shaq. I feel like Shaq is the most dominant player. So that's going to be tough to guard. And then at six, man, I have Kobe. Kobe off the bench would be amazing. Just giving buckets all around. That's my all-time five. Everyone has their own variations of it, of how you want to do it. And it's okay to agree to disagree. But, yeah, that's my all-time five.
See, now I'm going to take Mike out of mine because you put Mike in yours. Because I high-key wanted to do this, but I ain't want to, trigger nobody. But fuck it. I mean, I'm sorry, choose my language. But forget it now. I'm going to put Clay. Because Steph, Clay, and KD, that was the greatest, that offense was spectacular.
So you basically want the 19 Warriors. All right.
I'm sorry. If you can beat up on LeBron James, you get my vote. You beat up on my favorite player. Okay, that was cool. It's cool. But Steph, Clay, and then give me KD, and then Bron, and then Hakeem, because all that shooting, And then Hakeem and Bron can do what they got to. Boys, my five going to be set. My five set.
Yeah, I mess with your five a lot. But if we were to put our fives against each other, I don't know. We might have
I'll
to.
Take, I'm taking mine. I'm taking my
five. You said I'm taking mine.
I'm taking
my We five. Might have to put that in 2K and run a 2K game or something.
Yeah, I'm taking my five. Because that's why I took Mike out. Because, like, okay, I'm going to let you have him. Because, like, I really wanted to put Clay. Because Steph, Clay, and KD, that was just some.
I think MJ's going to lock up Clay.
LeBron, you can't lock up Clay. You can't lock up. See, with the way my office is, you can't lock up Clay. It's too much movement, bro. Like,
it is a lot of movement.
It's too much movement. I like it. It's perfect. That's the perfect starting five right there.
I mess with it. All right, guys. So that's gonna be the end of today's episode. Thank you for Justin for hopping on here, giving me his time. Appreciate the support, man. Love to have you on future episodes.
For sure. You know, just, you know, you can always, you know, hit my line. I'm down. I love to do this, you know, and I support you. Once I heard, I saw you had it, and I was like, you know, I got to get on there. Get my shout outs. You know, I
appreciate
keep
it,
doing man. Your thing, bro.
I appreciate it. So thank you guys for everything today. Stay blessed, everybody. Have a good rest of your day. All right, I'm out. See you tomorrow.
All right, my boy.